Thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be here. I appreciate both of these missionaries tonight. Well, it's Wednesday night. If you pastor very long, you know whatever you're going to do, you got to do it in 45 minutes on a Wednesday night because everybody's going to be passed out. So thank you. Thank you, preacher. I'm honored to be here. I really am. And I was a little bit more relaxed. Michael told me that James Jones was going to be gone, so that made me feel better. Not that I don't like to see him. I just I feel intimidated about preaching around him. And then preaching here for your pastor, and then Ray Bearden. And so I'm tighter than a banjo string tonight. All right. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Philippians, the book of Philippians. I'm sorry, the book of Philemon. I told you I was nervous. The book of Philemon, please. The book of Philemon. We're going to start in verse number one. The preacher said he's dealing with missions this week, and you know, I hope you understand what I'm saying, but I've got a lot of preacher friends that do a lot of concentrated studying about specific preaching on missions, and other than what I preach to my church, I don't do a lot of that. So I've been praying ever since we scheduled the meeting about what to preach, and I was reading probably a month ago, maybe a little longer, I was reading through the book of Philemon here, and just my personal reading, and the Lord spoke to me about a message that has affected me, and I hope it'll be a help to you tonight. I'm trying to, what I'm dealing with tonight, I'm not really dealing with faith promise. I'm going further than the mission board that you've got on the wall. I'm going a little deeper than just having prayer cards. Actually, what I'm dealing with tonight, I feel like would help, not because I'm preaching it, but just because of the truth of it. I think it would help everything we're doing as far as Christianity. And so I hope you'll bear with me tonight as we read some scripture here. And I was going to take my watch off, but you've got one wired in right here. Okay. I'm gonna ask you, I know the pastor just had you stand, but if you don't mind, could we stand one more time here just for the reading of the scripture? Verse number one. Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Aphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation of thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul, the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Lord, I need your help tonight. I want to be a blessing to this meeting. I want to be a help, Lord, in line of what you've placed on the pastor's heart. I pray that you'd use me tonight. I want to be an encouragement. And I pray that you'd speak to hearts. Pray that you'd direct my thoughts. Help me to honor the time, but yet, Lord, help me to preach completely as you work in my heart. Thank you for this privilege. Help me now and give me your power in Jesus' name. Amen. I got to reading through this little short book, 25 verses, and this word bowels keeps popping up three times. Verse number seven, verse number 12, and verse number 20. So I got to kind of meditating on that and reading some, trying to study a little bit about it. The definition of bowels is intestine. In short terminology, it has to do with our insides. It has to do with our guts. I'm more familiar with that term. And so literally, Paul's not really dealing with our physical guts. He's not dealing with that. But it has to do with intestine, and it has to do with insides. And if I could be a little more specific, it has to do not with the lower guts, but with the upper part of our insides, the chest cavity area. It has to do with the area of our physical body where these vital organs as our heart, our lungs, our liver. And so he's dealing with that, and he uses this word bowels. And he's talking about in verse number 7, he says, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, that's a lot of time. Most of the time in my life, I need that inside of me refreshed. And I know it sounds like I'm trying to take a left field away from missions, but I want you to bear with me just a minute. Most of our Baptist churches have turned out, and I use this terminology a lot of times, but nothing but format, ritual, going through the motions like a moose lodge. Just kind of come in and pay your dues and sit for a period of time and get up and go on about your life. And to a pastor that has a pastor's heart, you want more than that. You want reality. You want to see God affect your church. And you want it to be real. You want it to be of God. You want people to come to the altar, but not just to physically walk up and bow down and go on about their life, but for their lives to be changed for the glory of God. And so as I got to studying this, I realized that these bowels he's referring to. Now, my son Steve, I used to do this more often, but he killed a nice deer back in the fall last year, and he's done that, you know, gone deer hunting, used to be more diligent about it, I guess. But, you know, when I was younger, I always wanted Steve or Mike to call me when they killed one because I wanted to come help them drag the deer. And now I just want to show up to see them put it on the tailgate. And so Steve killed one, and so I wanted to come, but I asked about the situation I've got bad knees, and I just can't climb them mountains and down in them gorges. And so he said, Dad, he said that thing, he said, I've just drug it right downhill. I can back the truck up to it. I said, I'll be there. That's my kind of dragging right there. So I went, so it was a nice deer, and we swung the hindquarters so that they're downhill. And so I said, well, I can at least stand up here and hold the front legs because he's going to gut this deer. So I'm holding this deer. He's on his back, and he's belly up, and I've got his front legs. And so Steve pulls out his knife, and he begins to open this deer up from his chest bone down between his hind legs. That's really not the time you want to be eating a peanut butter and banana sandwich when you're watching that. And so when he's cut this deer open, he's pulled it apart, and all that dark, bloody mess is just running, and it's running out. And so Steve puts on some gloves, and he's just trying to help all those guts out of that deer. And then I noticed he kind of started reaching up in this area, up in the chest, and he's getting hold of the area of these bowels where the meaning of this word is, and I'll try to make it spiritual in just a minute, but he's getting hold of these vital organs, and he's pulling out, and he's naming it. He said, here's a heart, here's a lungs, here's a liver, and he's pulling all of that out of there. And that, in a sense, is what this word bowels means. But he's not dealing with the physical. He's dealing with the spiritual. And for us as believers, he's dealing with the very seat of our emotion. He's dealing with the very place of where we call, or I call a lot of times, in a good spiritual service, you get to feeling in your heart. And it's a warm, fuzzy feeling. It feels good. When I got saved, it felt good to get saved. It felt good, and it got all warm and sloshy on the inside. My mom was a little bit emotional, but I hardly ever saw my dad emotional. And when I got saved, the Sunday morning I got saved, we went to the house, and I'd made that profession when I was 9 years old, but my life was going south. So mom and dad been praying for me. I was 19 years old when I got born again. And so we got home, and mom and dad were tore out of the frame. I mean, mama didn't even go to the kitchen. Daddy said, Eileen, come on in here and let's sit down. And he was blowing his nose, and mama was blowing her nose. And I had this it felt like that globe right there was stuck in my throat. And then Dad says, son, what happened to you today? Well, I was trying to tell him, Dad, I got, and that thing kept coming up, and I was trying to make it go back down, and that's what Paul's dealing with. And that gets established when you get born again. I guess if I put it in plain English, it's about the Holy Ghost living inside of you. Amen. And he's a person. And he lives inside of you. And he gives the feeling to do everything. You see, here's what I'm preaching to you about tonight. You probably say, preacher, you're not preaching on anything about that. But you just listen to me just a minute. Listen. When we've lost, when our bowels of compassion, the seat of our emotion, has gotten all plugged up, We don't have any care about anything anymore. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you. But down through the years, my wife and I have talked about this many times. What's wrong with our churches? What's wrong with our people? Most of your churches, you know, the pastor needs to talk to the men. And you get together, you bring something up, and you'll say to them, say, I want some feedback here. Well, they sit there with their teeth in their mouth. That's all they do is just keep their teeth in their mouth. And there's nothing. There's no concern. There's nothing. Whatever you want. Paint it pink. Paint the steeple purple. I don't care. Just say what you got to say, preacher. Let's get out of here. We've lost something there. A church attendance is drying up. It has to do with this. Look at me. It has to do right here. Who cares about visiting? Who cares about inviting anybody to church? Who cares about anything? I mean, that's all the pastor's business. All that has to do with right here. Listen. The preacher wants a support mission. Okay, we'll just put a little bit extra on the plate. All that's done. Somebody can do a mission board. Put that on the wall. Put a globe up here and a thing of flowers. Okay, we're done with that. There's no feeling. There's no care. And all of this, you spend your whole life sucking cigarettes and eating junk food. And you know what's going to get plugged up is those main arteries in your heart. And I'll say this. You spend your Christian life sucking up on this world and involving yourself in Hollywood and doing everything. I'm trying to keep this into missions now. I'm trying to. But you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to come to the house of God and you're all plugged up right here. You've lost all your feelings. The man of God can get up and he can pray all week. He can study and get up like a junkyard dog, foaming at the mouth, preaching from his heart. It means nothing. Now look at me. Watch me. You know what's wrong? This is what's wrong. Right here's what's wrong. And you know what? I didn't get saved to get in this, to go through Catholicism or ritualistic movement of just coming to some building with a steeple on it and sit down and drop some money in the plate like I'm paying my taxes or paying my light bill or something. Here it is. They're singing. That's a special. This is cute. All right. He's done preaching. Let's get out of here. Where are we going to eat today? Where are we going to eat? That's all. That's what most of the conversation is in a Baptist church. Go on the vestibule. Where you guys want to go eat? Where you want to go eat? And we've lost something right here. Now I'm going to tell you something. That preacher right back there preaching. You know what he's saying to us? He's saying to us the heart for missions is drying up in America. It's drying up. It's drying up in preachers. It's drying up in the pew. The heartbeat to want to see somebody get saved. Let me tell you something. When I got born again, and that was in 1975, you got saved in 1975, and the whole church was shouting and praising God and coming and hugging your neck. You get saved right now, and you might get somebody just to smile real cute and look at you and not even come shake your hand anymore. Just going out the door. They got to get out of here. They got to go. So what's happened to us? Paul's referring, and I love the Apostle Paul. Every time I was sitting over there thinking, every time I read the writings of the Apostle Paul, here's what I say. That man's got something I want. He's got something I want. He has more than I have, but I'm not being critical. I'd like to have 50% of what he's got. You know what he's got? He's got a heart in what he's doing. I felt that in these two men. I felt a heart, a passion, something in what they're doing. And that's what we're like. Let me tell you something. If somebody's got to pull your wisdom teeth, get you to sing a special, keep your seat. That's right. If somebody's got to put a half Nelson on you to get you to teach the young people, hey, just don't come. Hey, where's our heart at? This is not the Shriners Club. This is an old-fashioned Baptist church. And when we've lost this, we've lost all of it. You know what? Look at me just a minute. If we don't get that back, you know what this is going to be right here? This is going to be an auction house. This building will be an auction house someday. Mark it down. And this, look, hey, they can put folding chairs up to about that fourth pew, and they can haul the junk through this door right here. Just bring it in one at a time. Antiques, junk, whatever you want to do. Fill the place up with cigarette smoke. Sit back there. Have some concessions back there. Don't you think that's happened in this nation? It's happened all over this nation. Where there used to be revivals and old-time men of God. And you know what happened? They got plugged up right here. Their hearts plugged up. And I'm interested in getting my heart unplugged. Amen. This thing is established. Here's what Paul said in Philippians 1, verse number 8. Listen. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, I love you as Christ loves you. I love you as Christ loves you. Listen to this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. If we show any mercy to anybody, you know where that mercy comes from? They deserve judgment. They deserve wrath. They deserve punishment. But there's something that wells up inside of you. It's called compassion. It comes from the Spirit of God. You care for them. You care for them. And so that is the same compassion that Jesus Christ had. Amen. And the only way, a lot of people's problems, and I'm not preaching on this tonight, but a lot of problems, what we're trying to do, we're trying to get a lot of lost people to like church that don't have any heart in it at all. They don't like it. They've made a little dried up 2x4 profession of faith. It never changed their life. They're trying to maintain some kind of religious format, and they hate all of it. They hate the godly living. They hate standards of righteousness. They hate it. They hate preaching. That's why entertainment has gotten to be so popular in our churches now. You're entertaining people that don't know God. Amen? That's right. All right. Here we go with the mission conference. All right. Let me give you an example. 1 Kings chapter number 3, Solomon. And there were two women. Both of them were harlots. And both of them, by immoral act, were found with child. Both of them gave birth to little boys. One gave birth to hers a few days before the other one gave birth to hers. So the story tells us, true story, that during the night, let's say, I'm pointing over here, during the night, this one that just gave birth to hers was probably feeding it, breastfeeding. So during her sleep, she overlaid it, the Bible says. So I'm gathering, she has smothered her new little baby boy. It's dead. So she wakes up in the night and realizes what happens. So she takes that dead baby, and she walks over here to the bed where this other harlot is. And she slips her living baby. And she takes her dead baby and places it in her breast. So when this one wakes up in the morning, she discerns the thing, realizes this is not my baby. This is her baby. And she walks over and says, she's got my baby. And so there's an argument. And she's saying, no, this is my baby. That's your baby. You've overlaid your baby. She said, I didn't overlay my baby. That's not my baby. That's my baby. You switched during the night. So they're fussing. They brought him to the king. So the king listened to this woman, and the king listened to that woman, maybe asked her a question or two, asked this one a question or two, and he looked back here at the back door, and he called for a servant. He said, go out yonder and fetch me a two-edged sword. And so they brought in that two-edged sword, and he said, well, this baby's already dead. And he said, you say that the living one is yours, and you say the living one's yours. And he said, I don't know if they rolled a table out there or a wooden block or what they did. He said, I want you to get that living baby and lay it on that block. And sir, if you don't mind, take that two-edged sword and divide the living child in half and give half of the living child to this woman and the other half. And this woman over here that was lying was all for it. She was all for it. But this woman over here who was the real mama, here's what the Bible said. Her bowels yearned within her. You see, that's going to make the difference of whether this church stays alive. That's going to make a difference whether he reaches out to any young people. That's going to make a difference about the mission field in the Southwest. That's going to make a difference in Romania and China. That's going to make a difference all over the world. Everybody just keeps talking about, well, missions is going down in America. It's going down. Churches are going down in America. Preachers are going down in America. Christian homes are going to pot in America. You know why? We're plugged up. We're plugged up. Look at me. We're so plugged up. Some of you are nervous right now about an invitation. You're nervous. You're so dried up. You're so plugged up. You don't even want to come and say, God, I'm plugged up. I can't eat. I couldn't buy a tear if I had to pay for it. I couldn't. You don't even want to come and ask him to give you one tear back. That's how plugged up you are. You're afraid something's going to change you from watching. You're afraid something's going to mess you up about going down to Walgreens to that little red box where they got them movies.
Right.
You're afraid something's going to alter you.
Sure.
You have developed such a appetite for filth, comfort zone, deadness. You like dead religion because you can control it in the palm of your hand like you do a cell phone.
Right.
You can turn it on or you can turn it off. And it's really convenient to you. You see, when this part gets right, this controls our life. Right? This right. All right. And so Paul's dealing with this. He said, for we have great joy and consolation, Philemon verse 7, in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. So Paul has got a good word about this brother, Philemon. He's got a good word. He said, this brother right here, when he comes around the saints of God, his life, his testimony, his ministry, what's in his chest, what's in his heart, his walk with God refreshes the same area in other people. Most of what gets refreshed now is did you get a deer or about the football score or where you going on vacation? But anything to do with God or anything about anybody getting saved or anything about where you've been reading in the scripture or anything what God, when God hooked you up in prayer, none of that gets heard of anymore. Most of our youth groups right now in our churches, If you were to take six teenage girls and put them together and send them to youth camp and put them through a series of preaching services in the morning and at night, but gave them free time in the afternoon, if one of those teenage girls was trying to move toward God and live for God and spoke up to the other five girls and said, you know what? All three of those preachers that preached in the service this morning blessed my heart, but that one preacher preached on that message and touched my heart. What'd y'all think about it? You know what those five in your average church now, they'd roll their eyes at that girl.
Yeah, sure.
They'd roll their eyes at her.
Yeah.
They'd cut their eyes at each other. Yeah. And they would try to step away from her and go sit at their own table somewhere. They would think she's a weirdo.
Yeah.
And that kind of behavior about being spiritual, it's sad to say that it is becoming very strange and odd
right.
in our churches.
Amen.
Now listen, I know you're looking at me like, preacher, you're supposed to be helping. I'm trying to help you with missions. I'm trying to help you to stay alive. The reality of it. The reality to want to feel something, to have a passion. Here's what Jeremiah said. He said in Lamentations 2 and verse number 11. Here's what he said. Mine eyes do fail with tears. He said, my bowels are troubled. Listen to this. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. Boy, this would be a different nation if we had preachers that had feeling and heart like that. Oh yeah, our children and sucklings are swooning in the streets of this nation. But where are the tears?
Right.
Who cares? Who cares? You know, I was coming up the road. I was thinking about this verse in Psalm 51. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Now listen. And renew a right spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. Pastor Boyer, I long to see a convert really get born again. To where you can tell that this area of their life has been affected. It changes them. If all of you want to put on bikinis, not you men. You want to put on your pink flip-flops and get you a toe ring and go flip-flopping around this world. Now listen, I'm not being boastful. This sounds braggadocious, but I'm not bragging. But I want to tell you something. I've settled something right here a long time ago that what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it to honor him.
Yes.
Honor him.
Yes.
That's right. And that's what happens is, you know this, Dr. Jones, that all this talk about legalism didn't start till about 20 or 25 years ago. No, it used to just be, Dr. Bearden, it used to be just a known fact of getting saved. When you get saved, your life is going to change.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. I know, and I've got some preacher friends, when they got saved, they struggled. I think I heard Billy Mitchell say this. He struggled with that cigarette issue. Yeah, he struggled with that. But I'll tell you what, he says this. I'll never forget him saying this, and it helped me so much. He said, I know I repented. Because I've been repenting ever since. You ever heard him say that?
Yes, sir.
Now that may sound cute to you, but that's deep theology right there. That is. You'll know you've been born again because the changer came on the inside to change you. And he's been working on me, still working on me, and will work on me until I get a new body.
Amen?
But with so much attitude right now, so much attitude. And I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I can remember when my brother come home from Vietnam, we shooting basketball in the backyard. And we were talking about the preacher. I was talking about the preacher. He's 8 years older than me, shooting some baskets. And I told my brother, I said, I cannot for the life of me. Here's what I said, honest truth. I'm not trying to be funny. I told my brother, I said, I cannot for the life of me understand why a man in his right mind would want to spend his whole life running around in a suit being a preacher. That's what I said to him. And God must have heard me.
Amen.
Because he saved me and he put me in a suit and he called me to preach. Amen. But I want to tell you something. He changed my life. I didn't know anything about it. When I made that little trot at 9 years old, I didn't understand what I was doing. But I did know what I was doing when I was 19. I knew he brought an awareness to me that I was lost without God. And he worked that conviction in me to where I wanted to be born again. We have twisted the arm of so many people that never even wanted to be saved, but wanted to get you off the front porch, that they went ahead and agreed to some kind of a prayer that you wanted them to repeat and get you out of the way. And now they're spending their life saying, I've been saved, I've done that, but there's something wrong right here. There's no tears. There's no want to. There's no passion. They'll get saved on Sunday morning. You won't find them on Sunday night.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
That's right. Yeah. I got saved on Sunday. You just have to understand the circumstances. I was going to school in another town. So every Sunday afternoon, I'd pack up, head off the mountain. But on that Sunday, I stayed for Sunday night. I wanted to. I listened to my preacher and I headed off that mountain. I was rooming with another buddy. We was going to a technical school in Hickory. On Wednesday night, he walked in. I was putting on my church clothes. He said, where are you going? I said, I don't know really. I said, I just know I've got to find a Baptist church because they had prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And I said, why don't you get ready and go with me? He said, I'm not going. And I said, just go with me. Go with me. We went. We went to church. I'm not being bragging. I'm saying something affected this area in my life. And I'm saying to you that if we're trying to do missions when this is all stopped up and hard and cold and indifferent and we could care less, you know, but it's like, have you ever been anywhere and they've listed a revival meeting on the church sign? And you look, do a double take and you say, that meeting's just on Sunday. A revival meeting on Sunday? They're coming to church anyway. You know why? The pastor knows they're not going to come Monday night.
Right.
There's a problem right here.
Amen.
They're not going to show up on Tuesday night.
Right.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired of hearing about work schedules and ingrown toenails and problems and taking Junior to ball practice and just to throw it in on top. I'm tired of the COVID virus. Amen. I'm tired of hearing all. I'm tired of going to Walmart and I said, what? What are you talking about? I'm tired of all that. I just want to be an all-time Christian with that good feeling in my heart. And if we're going to do missions, let's do it with tears and a passion in our heart. I want to. Just take the paycheck, slap it out there on top of the kitchen table. Said, you gave me the strength to earn it. It's yours, God. I'll do what you tell me to do. That's right. Passion. Where's your passion at? Where's your passion at? You know what plugs us up? Fears plug us up. We're afraid. I'll just be honest with you. I've been a little bit afraid about all what's going on here. All this change. I don't like this change. This, something's going on here besides a virus. I mean, it's changing everything worldwide. Fears. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. They were afraid. They didn't understand. Abounding iniquity. Matthew 24, verse number 12. It'll get you all plugged up. Wickedness everywhere. Wickedness. Just like those kids, the preacher, Brother Chris, was talking about. Can you imagine young people doing that to their parents? You know why? They played this. They played out the same thing on their games.
Yeah.
It's programming their minds. And to get them out of your hair, you'd rather buy it for them and put a 48-inch flat screen in their little 2x4 bedroom somewhere and say, get out of here. Go play your games. We've lost our homes. Mothers have lost their heart. They don't want a mother anymore. Fathers have lost their drive. They don't want to be fathers anymore. They don't want to come home. They don't want to take their son fishing. They don't want to sit down and talk. They don't want to do anything. They've lost their heart. But if you're saved, somebody's living inside of you and trying to stir your heart again, to be real, to be born again. The apathy of our churches affects this. Apathy. Yeah. Just dead. I told my church Sunday night, I told them. It was a little bit dead. No, I'm going to retract that. There's a lot of bit dead. So I just got up and I said, y'all just be patient to bring the body in just a few minutes. Dead. Deader than floor cotton. You have to beg, plead, ask for a testimony. Nobody wants to testify. Nobody wants to get in singing. People falling asleep. They're bored. The problem isn't we need new programs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The problem has to do with our bowels, our heart, the very seat of being born again, the very seat of our compassion, our love, the seat of our emotion. And this apathy's affected us. The appeal to worldliness. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And this would be considered the cream of the crop, and I'm not being critical. But isn't that sad? Is this all of the church? Where's the rest of the church? Don't tell me. Where's the rest of the church? This place ought to be packed out.
Amen?
That's right. Everybody that's a member should be here tonight. Unless you're just really sick. But there's not many people that are really sick that they can't come to church. That's right. Our problem is we're struggling with this thing to try to maintain the bookwork of this motion when we've totally lost our heart for the whole thing. So, I'm going to try to do this in 5 minutes. I'm just going to mention it. If I was to, and I'm not being irreverent, but let's just say I was supposed to, I go out somewhere in a room. I get on my knees. And I say, God, I've already preached this 3 times. I think just a little bit I understand what you're saying here. And I feel like I'm plugged up. Would you refresh my bowels? Would you break loose whatever stopped up? You know what? One thing I think he'd say to me. He said, Ronnie, remember your salvation.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, do you have something to remember?
Amen.
Man, I'm going to tell you, Brother Bearden, my salvation experience has been a limelight topic through the years of my preaching. I've gone back to it, and I've gone back to it, and I've rehearsed it, and I've thought about it, and I've shared it in my preaching. It is the life transformation thing. It is my foundation. I am established upon the rock, Jesus Christ. I can see the church. I can just see the crowd. I can hear my pastor's voice. Those months and months and months of conviction, the misery on the back row, God, you know, I didn't know all this, but all of a sudden, I just saw myself like God saw me. I thought, what am I arguing about? I'm a wretched sinner. I'm a sinner. And who am I fooling? I'm not fooling anybody but me. And then Brother Boyer come to me. I don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
And I just turned, I said, let me out of here. I could come down the aisle. I didn't come down here to talk about it. I come to get pawned again. He changed my life. I pleaded with him. He answered me with peace. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. Now listen, I'm not being critical of the church, but I am preaching a little bit about honesty, where we're at. You've got a beautiful facility here. This is not the church. You are. This place looks so clean, so nice. But how clean are you? How clean are you? Is that your son on the end? Does anybody claim this boy? How old are you, son? How old are you? 9. How old are you, honey? How old are you? 8. Y'all brothers and sisters? 9 and 8. Let's see. What kind of shape are we going to be in when they're 20 and 21? Man, I'll tell you, I've seen so much change spiraling downhill in this year. It's blown my mind. It's got me in a tailspin.
Amen.
You'll say, preacher, Lord be back. We won't ever see another Christmas again. But what if we see them get 20 and 21? What do you think it's going to be then? What kind of shape our churches will be in? This brother up here talking about how many pastors depressed. Yeah, I can relate to that.
Sure.
Trying to push and push and push. You know, a pastor's position is to lead, not to get in the backside and push. Come on, come to church. Come on, come on, give. Come on, let's have a mission conference. Come on, come on, come on.
Amen.
And you do that 7 days a week. You're not only exhausted physically, you're exhausted mentally, you're exhausted spiritually. That's right. He'd say, Ronnie, he said, remember your salvation. Man, I praise God. Brother Beard, now I've got that one thing right there. Donald Trump or the Democrats, sorry if there's any here, can't change it. That's right. They can't change it. That's sure. He did that for me, and I know it. Remember your salvation. Rekindle your fire. Yeah, that's your responsibility. You're waiting for somebody to come in here and knock a home run behind that desk right there, and I'm not against that, but you've got your own responsibility to rekindle your fire. If you're dead and cold and dried up, just gently take time. Hey, here's what I'm going to say to people. It's time for me to quit. I want to say this. People think I'm crazy, but until sometimes I just call my wife and I say, I'm on the way home, but I need to stop at the church. Well, most of the time I'm not stopping to get anything. I'm stopping to go find a room. I'm stopping to go somewhere. Sometimes I go upstairs and open the junior department or the class. And there's a window that looks out over the creek, and I just pull up a chair. Some of you, I know you think I'm a nut, but some of you need to take time to turn your TV off.
Yes, yes.
And power your phone down.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And go find a creek, a pine thicket, a tool shed, a back porch, a rock altar. Somewhere to stop and think about you. Where you're at with God, and what does God think about you? What does He think about you? What do you want in life?
Amen, preacher.
How old are you, son? 17. His whole future in front of him, 17.
Amen.
His whole future. And I would say to you, what's your first name?
Tyler.
Tyler. I would say to you, Tyler, before you go any further down this road, you get this thing established right here.
Amen.
And love Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Love Him with all your heart.
Amen.
And don't listen to all these pulls and influences.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But just walk with God.
Oh, yes.
And if God gives you a wife and gives you children someday and gives you a job, what you've got established right here will see you all the way through.
Amen.
To the end. So I'm done preaching. I didn't really preach it out, but I'm going to stop right here. What does all this mean? Why are you here tonight? You going to come back Sunday? What are you going to come back for? How many of you can honestly say my life is changed in a dramatic way? In the last 2 years, my life is dramatically changed by coming here and worshiping God and listening to preaching. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. If you can't say there's anything, you've got a tender heart, you've got tears, you're walking with God, you love Jesus, you're going to press on. You're going to press on. I think Brother Chris was talking about that. Like his determination. Well, you may sit back there and say, well, he's young and, you know, and he'll change his mind in a couple of years. I don't want him to change his mind. I'm glad to hear somebody. That refreshes my bowels. To hear somebody get up and say, hey, I will do something for Jesus and I'm not turning back. This pastor would have a heart attack if you men come up here and got up off the altar and say, I'm with you till doomsday, preacher.
Amen.
Right? So I've just tried to take a thought. And I'm done preaching, preacher, but I won't say if something doesn't change right here, if this doesn't get refreshed, I don't even want to think about where your families, where this church, where our churches are headed. I wonder, can I give an invitation, preacher? I wonder if you'd even be willing to come up here and say, God, there's not one teardrop within 100 miles of me, but I'd come up here to get on my knees to ask you if you could begin to break up the fallow ground. Let's stand together.